for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.
Sunday afternoon, May the 25th, 1986. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is a deliverance service, and Glenn and Irma Miller are the teachers of the afternoon.
You know, the things that Irma and I, that the Lord's given us and that we teach and that we, He's given us an unusual place because what He's given us to teach is not popular, it's not basically accepted, yet it's so desperately needed in the household of faith. All the heartaches, the sorrows that exist in the body of Christ. And we didn't come this way by things that we knew or thought we knew. We have learned by experience and revelation. If something has happened or there's been an experience, or there's been somebody come for help, or we prayed with somebody for something, and if these things have happened, the Lord has brought a revelation of these things of what we now teach. The teaching of the abominable thing. We had no concept of that. That came about by a need. That came about because the Lord laid on Irma to stop and pray at somebody's house for somebody. And when she stopped and prayed and followed that with the Spirit of the Lord that laid on her to stop and pray, the Lord brought the revelation through that of the abominable things that people have in their houses. And that it brings, that these abominable things bring sickness and disease, and they bring a divorce, and they can bring all kinds of things. There's other things that bring the same things, but the abominable things that you have in your house is one of the things that causes disease of various sorts and kinds, as well as divorce and problems in the family. Now, that's not the only thing that causes these things. That's just one of the things. But that came by a revelation because Irma obeyed Spirit of the Lord that moved on her to stop and pray for somebody. Then, here a while back, and then it's just like yesterday when I talked about the blood and the fat. That came by a revelation that came because the Spirit of the Lord moved. And we'll pick that up again a little later this afternoon. I'm not going to discuss it anymore, but we're going to pray more definitely in that area, which we really didn't yesterday. But we're going to pray in that area this afternoon a little more definite. But we were asked to come to Tulsa here a few years back to teach a group of ORU students and some of the teachers. We were asked to come over and teach, I think, did we teach two times or three times? I don't remember which. But we were asked to come over and teach to a group of the students and some of the teachers. Where did we do that at? At the Youth for Christ Center? In the Youth for Christ Center, we used the Youth for Christ parsonage. It had a large dining room or living room and dining room combination that served as about a fourth the size of this building. We used it for facilities to teach in. And the Lord brought a revelation that day, but I'm going to talk about this afternoon. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 23. Deuteronomy 23, verse 2. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. An Amorite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their tenth generation or 400 years shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. Who are the Amorites and the Moabites? Turn with me back to Genesis chapter 19. Chapter 19. I believe it's the last three verses of the chapter. Verse 36. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. The firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab. The same is the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger she also bare a son and called his name Ben. Ammonite, the same as the father of Ammon, or the Ammonites, unto this day. So, the Amorites and the Moabites are the descendants of Lot and his daughters by incest. Now, the problem of incest is rampant in America today. And we see it on, they've had it on 2020 and different programs and on the news. And there are books written about it on the pornography stands, which are contrary to the Word of God. And incest is rampant in America. But it's also in the household of faith. But it is. So we might as well face up to the fact and lay it out in the open and apply the Word of God to it and see what God says about it. The Lord is requiring holiness of His people. And all of these things have to be cleaned up in the church, in the body of Christ. It's just like Paul said over there, he turned somebody over to Satan that his soul, might spirit might be by the destruction of his body. And that's just about the truth of what we have today in some in the body of Christ in relation to the sexual sins and incest that is prevalent in the household of faith. And a lot of it, for some reason, is hid and covered up instead of being brought out into the open and dealt with. It's time that it has to be brought to the open and dealt with the sin that it is and the abomination that God says it is. Because God says that it's a sin that's carried. Now, what we studied yesterday was sin, was things that was abominations to God that was carried just to the third and the fourth generation. But this is such an abomination to God that He says it goes to the tenth generation. Which is, and who knows here what you've got back, even the third or the fourth generation, who knows what's in our family heritage for the back to tenth generation. It's for sure I don't know, and I'm sure that somewhere back in that far that we have a trace of incest in every one of our bloodlines. Even though we don't want to admit to it, I'm sure that it is probably there. And it would be a miracle of God if you are one that's pure and don't have a trace of that in your ancestral heritage someplace. Now, in my opinion, the cross marriage of the races is also incest. In blacks and whites, Orientals and Caucasians, in my opinion, that is incest. Anyway, this problem is rampant in the church today. And it ought not to be. Well, the first time I ever taught on this, or even looked at it, and I hadn't really studied it when I taught on it. And I taught on it that day to the ORU students and several other instructors over in Tulsa. When I finished teaching that afternoon, and I began to call out the spirit of incest, there was a nursing instructor that was sitting by the door that went outdoors. She was sitting on a chair, folding chair, by the door. And she sat there, and as I spoke, I didn't see any expression on her face. I couldn't see whether she was for me or against me. She just sat there with expressionless. And I thought, boy, she's really going to come against me. I finished, and I began to call out the spirits of incest and sexual perversion. She let out a scream, fell off of her chair, and began to writhe across the floor as a serpent. And all bedlam broke loose immediately. With all these nice, pretty students and instructors, beautiful kids, but all hell broke loose in that place. And for about 3 hours, we had bedlam as the powers of Satan were confronted with us. Name of Jesus, and the demon powers of incest and sexual perversion came out of those kids and out of the adults that were there that afternoon. And it opened our eyes to something that we didn't want to see, because I never expected to happen what happened that afternoon. And from that, we began to receive calls from pastors and from people in the relationship of the incest that was turning up in their congregations and in problems in families with incest in the family. And it is a great problem in the body of Christ. And it's necessary that this thing be cleaned out so that there'll be holiness in the household of faith. There has to be holiness. There has to be. The Lord says, I am a holy God. And there has to be holiness if we're going to see Him. There was one young girl, a young lady, I think Irma says she was 20, that a couple of girls were praying with, and she just could not. She was a background. Her background was from Holland, beautiful blonde girl, and a couple of girls were praying with her, and they just couldn't get anywhere with her, and all they could get out of her was, I can't, I can't, I can't. And so finally, when it quieted down a little bit, I told Irma to go over there and see if she could help the girls that were praying with this other girl. And the essence of the whole thing was that she didn't want to go home for Thanksgiving. She couldn't go home. She couldn't go home and face her mother, who had molested her and her sister and her two brothers almost since she could remember. And she didn't want to go home. And her mother was a spirit-filled, tongue-talking woman. But she was bound by this demon of incest. He took her over at times and possessed her. Some people say that can't be so. Well, maybe you think so, but you're talking to the wrong person here, because I've been there too many times, and I know that it can be so and that it is so. It ought not to be, but it still is truth. It's time, and the hour has come when the Lord says that judgment is starting in the household of faith. And either straighten up your act and get clean and holy before the Lord, or His judgment's going to fall and is falling upon His people. Well, turn with me over to Leviticus chapter 18. And let's look at some of these things that the Lord relates to here in these areas for a while this afternoon. Leviticus chapter 18. And I will read all of it through 18. Then in another chapter, I won't read it all, but we'll make reference to it. And then we'll pick it up again in another chapter, and we will read it there. The 18th chapter of Leviticus, beginning with, we'll just start from verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, now this isn't Moses speaking. We have a problem sometimes of saying what Moses said. Well, Moses said it because God said to say it. So we kind of put it off like God, like Moses said it. So it really don't apply to us today. That's Moses' law. And so God didn't say it, but Moses said it. Well, here I hope, I want you to see that God said it. And the Lord said told Moses to say, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. And after the doings of the land of sin, wherein ye dwelt, shall you not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall you not do. Neither shall you walk in any of their ordinances or their regulations. You shall not walk in any of them. You shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Now, these judgments and ordinances that the Lord's talking about here were not done away with on Calvary by the cross. Because what was done away with at Calvary by the cross was the ordinances of sacrifices. But the Lord says that He's going to write these here in our hearts, so that we'll not sin against Him. So it's time that we studied these things and that we know them, and that they become like a phylactery on our forehead or in our mind, so that it's written in our minds. The Word of the Lord is written so that when something happens immediately, the Word of the Lord comes up and becomes and judges us. So that we turn from that thought unto the things of the Lord, and say, Lord, cleanse my mind. I put the blood there, just like Mary Ann said here a while ago. She said, get out of here when that thing runs through her mind. That's what we've got every one of us to learn to do and do. Yes. Not only know about it, but do it. Yes. And when that runs through your thoughts, you say, oh, no, the blood cleanses me of that. That doesn't belong to me. And in my subconscious, I apply the blood of the Lord conscious of my mind to that computer that's in my subconscious mind, and I erase that out of there. I erase that just as you erase the tape. I erase that from there, and I apply the Word of the Lord in there to replace that. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to practice that. You have to practice it. You make it a practice to do that, so that all this filth that you've got in since you can remember from the kids before you went to school and the kids you went to school with and then the kids you went to high school with and then those you ran around with, all that filth that's there, and there's plenty of it there, and every one of you, it's there, and when it comes up, you've got to wash it out of there. You've got to cleanse the subconscious of your mind, because that's where it comes from. You've got to wash it out. You've got to teach the kids that one of these things, when they hear this stuff at school, because it's there, or someplace else, or up at the corner drugstore, or when I was a kid, it was at a garage that everybody hung out at. It's there, but you've got to clean it out. We've got to wash the temple. We've got to cleanse the temple of which we are. So it says, none of you, ye shall therefore keep my statutes and do my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. There he says we're to live in them. We're to know them and we're to live in them. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. Now, uncover their nakedness here actually means having sexual relations. It applies to sexual relations. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother thou shalt not uncover. Now see, this is what Paul referred to when he said that this man took his father's wife. And he's referring right back here to what we're reading right now. But Paul carried it over to the New Testament too. The nakedness of thy father, the nakedness of thy mother, thou shalt not uncover. She is thy mother, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or the daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. Now that verse takes in here a full brother and sister or a half brother and sister. It's worded in such a way that it takes in either a half brother and sister or your full brother and sister. The nakedness of thy son's daughter or thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover, for theirs is thine own nakedness. Now, we need to teach the children, and when they begin to come halfway, 3-4 years old or up, we need to separate them and not bathe them together in the same tub. Now, I don't say it's wrong for a sister to take care of her brother or an older brother to take care of a sister, as long as it's supervised and they understand the word of the Lord. I'm the oldest of my family of children. I'm the oldest. And when I was 10 years of age, I took care of my other brothers and sisters all day long when my parents went to town to sell the produce that we raised on the truck farm. And they went to town, and I took care of my brothers and sisters. I changed their diapers. I washed their diapers in the tub. I cooked for them. I made biscuits. I made pancakes. I couldn't do it today, but I did then. I did it from scratch. I didn't have to have the stuff in a box. I did it from scratch when I was 10 years of age. And that's the way I was raised. I was raised with responsibility. And your children need to be raised with responsibility so that they'll not think that everything is handed to them on a silver platter. They need to have responsibility in life. And it'll make a man and a woman out of them. It'll make them worthwhile when they have a family of their own. Responsibility of life. So in those cases, there's nothing wrong with it as long as they understand that God holds you accountable for your actions. We need to teach. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister. She is thy father's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thine aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Now, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter, neither thou shalt thou take thy son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinswoman. It is wickedness. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her to uncover her nakedness besides the other in her lifetime. In other words, you're not to take have two wives that are sisters or to have relations with your wife's sister. All of these things that I've read is incest. This is incest. Any aspect of this is incest. But it's rampant in America. And it is propagated and taught that it's good. And that is Satan corrupting and wanting to corrupt humanity and to corrupt the household of faith. Now, I never heard this taught in my life until I taught it. I'm the first person that I ever heard teach this. And I guess really the first time I ever taught it was to that group of ORU students and instructors over in Tulsa. The first time that I ever taught it. And Irma liked to flip out when I started. She thought I had plumb flipped. But then when it come down to the end and what happened, she changed her mind. And then she realized that God had done a sovereign act that afternoon in having me to teach that. I didn't know why I taught it. And I didn't understand it as I do now. I understand it a little better anyway. I didn't really understand it at all then. Also, thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is put apart for her uncleanliness. I never saw that before in my life until I was teaching it that day. That's the time of the ministerial period of a woman. It says, you shall not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is put apart for her uncleanliness. Now, since that time, we have prayed with people and had to break this curse off of them. And almost everybody I have found, because nobody ever said there's anything against it, has had relations with your wife during the time of the ministerial cycle. And the Lord sets up here in the Bible a time period for that cycle time when you're not to touch, have relations with each other. And we have found that partly. Now, when I say this, I'm not implying that it is a blanket thing, just like as with the eating of the blood. I do not say that everybody who has sugar diabetes because it came from eating blood. But in circumstances and some we have prayed with, it is because they ate blood or had blood sausage, blood pudding, or blood soup somewhere in their ancestral line. And because of that, there is arthritis in the family line. But that isn't every cause of arthritis. There are other causes. And the same with this. I'm not saying that this is the only cause. Here, we have found that prostate trouble and female problems can be traced back, some of them, to this problem of having relations during the time of the ministerial period. And we've had to ask for the Lord to cleanse and forgive and break that curse. And then they could be set free from the female problems and prostate trouble. File and error, we have come across these things. Now, you can say, I don't believe that. That's okay with me. Doesn't matter to me at all. Because we have come this way by revelation of the Lord in our life. And so, it doesn't matter to me whether you want to believe it or not believe it. That's immaterial to me. I'm telling you what the Lord has showed to us and has been a revelation to us. Because we have dealt with these problems and these situations, and it's been the cause, and we've had to go back and break the curse of it, apply the blood to the sin of it, then party's set free. And healing can come. Then you can pray for their healing and the restoration. But you're wasting your time praying for the healing and restoration in some cases and areas until the curse is broken and the sin is forgiven and covered and the blood is applied to it, and then you can apply the stripes of Jesus. Now you say, the stripes of Jesus is for healing. Yes, that is true. That is true. But I found that in some cases, you can't apply that until the sin's taken care of first. There is a process to a lot of things, and we haven't fully... And I don't begin to understand a lot of these things yet that the Lord is showing, not only to us, but to the body of Christ across the nation, to Chuck and Mary Ann, Brother Harris and the Brother Tommy and different ministries. This is not a ministry of this hour that God gives one person all the understanding. Each one, he gives a little piece in a certain area and to them, and then we flow together as a body ministry and we come together and we learn from each other, and then we apply it, that which fits us, we apply to our lives so that we may be that temple of the living God walking before the Lord in holiness and righteousness that he's calling us to today. Well, let's go on here so we can... I didn't have all this in my thoughts that I'm saying when I stood up here. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her, adultery. For thou shalt not let any of thy seed, and thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Moloch, neither shalt thou profane the name of the Lord. I am the Lord. Now, I apply this right here to abortion. This scripture I apply to abortion. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind is an abomination. Homosexuality and lesbianism. There it is, right there. Abomination. Sodom and Gomorrah. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereunto. It is confusion. And right there we have bestiality. And you can go back and read in ancient history, and you'll find bestiality was practiced in the arenas as a sport before the people to come and sit and watch the bestiality practiced and not only bestiality, but open practice of sex was carried on. And today, what's it called today? Yes, called pornography, but it's got another name. Can't think of it at the minute. Anyway, huh? No. Where they have carry on an orgy, but that's not the word I want to. They have. It's terrible. I can't think of it. No. They have on stage. It's a burlesque show. Burlesque show. That's all it is. Yeah, the same thing today, only they call it a burlesque show. And some of it gets really rank, like they did in the arenas. And then some of it is, but that's what I'm talking about, burlesque show. And I'm going to throw another curve at you since I mentioned that. You can take it for what it's worth. But you'll find in ancient history where it tells us that the hog, the swine, I believe this may be why God says it's such an abomination to him, that the swine came from practice of bestiality in the arenas back in Babylon and back in that area, that the swine came from as a byproduct of man and beast. This is in... Now, you say that can't be so. You say that it can't work. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, but I know of two particular cases where it happened right up in Illinois and Missouri, where women gave birth to beings from having intercourse with dogs. I know it to be a fact, so you can say what you like. Another thing about the hog, scientists tells us that they can take a hog and lay it on an operating table and take its insides out and lay it there and then take a human's and lay there, and it takes an expert to tell which is which. They're so near alike. So you can... Yes, yeah, all these things. The Lord, we're getting too smart for God. Anyway, yes. Yes, AIDS. AIDS is a disease that's come from Africa. And I, in my opinion, it's a curse of God upon the homosexual community. And I will be greatly amazed if they ever find a cure for it. Anyway, says, defile not yourself in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. And the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it. And the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Leviticus chapter 20. Well, I'll come back to this here in a minute. But I got something I want you to see in this chapter we just read that I haven't brought to your attention yet. Leviticus chapter 20. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but it starts with verse 9, goes through verse 22. Well, maybe I better read it. For everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. Now today, if there was a few children put to death for disobedience and rebellion against their parents, it'd straighten up a lot of the rebellion in America. But that's what they did with them back there. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery in his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and adulteress shall surely be put to death. The man that lieth with his father's wife and uncovereth his father's nakedness, both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Now, you see, here is what Paul had here, that this man was taking his father's wife. And if a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have brought confusion. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They surely shall be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burnt with fire, both he and they, that there be no wickedness among you. If a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and you shall slay the beast. If a woman approach unto any beast and lie down thereunto, they shall kill the woman and the beast. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man shall take his sister or his father's daughter or his mother's daughter and see her nakedness, and she see his nakedness, it is a wicked thing, and they shall be cut off in the sight of their people. He hath uncovered his sister's nakedness, he shall bear his iniquity. Now, cut off doesn't say put to death, but cut off, and I assume that that's either get some kind of a sickness and die. If a man shall lie with a woman having her sickness and shall uncover her nakedness, he hath uncovered her fountain, and she hath uncovered the fountain of her blood, and both of them shall be cut off from among their people. And you'll be cut off today by having female problems and disorders and having prostrate trouble. We're cut off. We have come down with the, with cancer with it or something, and you're cut off. And thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister nor thy father's sister, for he uncovereth his near kin, and they shall bear their iniquity. And if a man shall lie with his uncle's wife, he hath uncovered us. They shall bear their sins. They shall die childless. If a man shall take his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing. He hath uncovered his brother's nakedness. They shall be childless. You shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land whither I bring you to dwell therein spew you not out. Doesn't ask you if you want to do it. He says, you shall do it. When I read this, I say, Lord, I thank you for grace. I thank you that you have come with grace. Because every one of us probably sitting in this room have some way come under the fact that we should be stoned and put to death from what I have just read so far. But for the grace of God and his mercy, we have grace. And we have the blood to apply and appropriate to cleanse and wash us from these sins and areas of our life. We can turn and ask God to forgive us and cleanse us and be clean and holy and delivered from these things that bother us and still torment some of us because of the sins that we've committed or the sins of our ancestors. Lust. Lust is inherited from generation to generation. Unclean sexual habits and desires. Turn with me over to Deuteronomy chapter 27, and we will look at the last aspect of this, of these things that the Lord has. In Deuteronomy 27, we pick up with verse 15. Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination of the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place, and all the people shall answer and say, Amen. Now we're back to statues and praying to Mary and the saints and that. But the Lord says, you're cursed. Cursed be he that holdeth in light esteem his father or his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. We don't have too much problem with that today because we've got fence rows set. But in this time, while they had just a pile of stones, and they'd pick up the pile of stones and move it a few feet and get a well or a stream of water or something maybe. Cursed be he that maketh the blind way. Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. And this is what the Lord got after the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all about when he came along, because they were perverting the judgment of the stranger and the fatherless and the widow. Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife, because he uncovers his father's skirt. Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast. Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother. Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law. Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly. Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person, murder. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. We have three aspects here of scriptures that we've read. The first, over in Deuteronomy, in Leviticus 18, it said, you shall not. In Deuteronomy 20, it said, you shall be put to death. And now here, in Leviticus 18 and 20. Now here in Deuteronomy 27, it says that we're cursed. And with all of these areas, besides just the curses of incest. And then we go back to the first scriptures that I read, and it says that we're cursed to the 10th generation in the sins of incest. And that if we disobey the word of the Lord, we're cursed to the 10th generation. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, says, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me. All the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children." Now, I believe that what I'm teaching here this afternoon should be taught from the pulpit of every church in America by the pastor. And it should be taught to the young people in the young people's department, and it should be taught in the Sunday school by the Sunday school teachers. It should be understood and taught in a way that it is not obnoxious, but it should be taught. The Lord didn't. He just laid it out and said, "This is this, and this you shall not do." And that needs to be taught today in every church in America, so that this incest and divorce and adultery and fornication that is in the churches of the body of Christ will be cleaned out, and they'll understand that it's an abomination to God, and God says He's going to cut you off for doing it. He just not pat you on the back and say, God's love, bless your brother, bless your sister. But God says that He'll cut you off. And His word's still the same today. And today we may not be stoned, but we've come down with some kind of sickness or disease that because of our sins. But I believe that God is a God of grace and mercy, and I thank Him for it. But I believe that also if we see the error of our way, that He gives us an opportunity to repent of it and to apply the blood there, and then we can be set free and delivered and healed of these areas of our lives that is upon us because we have sinned in these areas. But we need to learn to fear the word of the Lord with a righteous fear. Because God said it, He said it, then we need to abide by it. And we need to fear God's word. And then we need to hide it in our heart. And we need to understand and learn. We talk about ruling and reigning with the Lord. How do you expect to rule and reign with the Lord if you don't even know what the word of the Lord says? This is God's law. And if He sent you down tomorrow to rule Nicaragua, how are you going to rule it? There's only one way you're going to rule it. You're going to rule it by what this says right here. And when God starts to rule the nations, they're going to be ruled by this book. And if you expect to be one that's going to rule and reign with the Lord and rule with the Lord, you better know what the book says so you've got something to stand on to rule by. Because this is what's going to rule. Yes. Ezra and Nehemiah. You will find that Ezra and Nehemiah both made the priests and the people separate themselves from the wives from the other races and send them back, including their children. That's right. You can take a family, and we know some of them, who are to the blacks and the whites have married, and the children, what a time they have. And they're not accepted. The children aren't accepted by the mothers, the white family, and they're not accepted by the black family. They're not accepted. And the heartache and the sorrow that's there. And it comes on the children, and it's visited down to the third and the fourth generation. And the Lord and the Scripture tells us back here that is carried in the bloodline. And science tells us that when that takes place, that's carried in the bloodline for 10 generations before it can come out. And God knew that back here when He said for Lot's children, He said that for 10 generations they would carry that curse upon their family line. Well, anyway, see here. We're to teach our children the fear of the Lord, and we're to raise them up fearing God and walking before the Lord. And the Lord taught very definitely to the children of Israel that they were to marry within their own tribes, their own people. And if He taught that to the children of Israel, then that would apply for the rest of the nations of the earth as well, that they were to continue to marry in their own races. And every time, and when they didn't, they got in all kinds of trouble. And that was what Balaam told, who was it, Moab? Whoever Balaam told, so that's what he told when he was come and told to curse the children of Israel. Well, he ended up telling them what to do so that they could destroy the children of Israel. He said, take your daughters and go down there and get them married to their sons. He said, and you'll accomplish what you want me to do. He said, I can't curse them. God won't let me curse them, but I'll tell you what you can do so you can accomplish the same thing. See? So there we are, you see. That shows right there what the Lord thinks of. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God command to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. Malachi chapter 4. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day cometh that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I command unto him in Horeb, for all Israel, with the statutes and the judgments. And then, as I said, the ordinances which the Lord Jesus fulfilled at the cross of Calvary are done away with. That is finished. That's complete. It's done. And Jesus takes our place as that offering and sacrifice. We come through the blood of Jesus for cleansing and for healing and deliverance by all the things that Jesus has done for us. Chapter 3, verse 6 says, for I am the Lord, and I change not. And too many of us, in past and even present, try to change God. But God says he won't change. We've got to change. We've got to follow what he says and do the word of the Lord according to his way. And he says, not one I will not be dotted or one T will not be crossed will ever change. So we're the ones that's got to change. And it gets pretty fine when even the I's and the T's can't be, the I can't be left off, or the dot off of the I or the cross off of the T can't be left off. If it's that fine, then we've got to do some changing. We can't change it to suit us. We've got to change to suit the word of the Lord. And verse 16 says, then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name, were to think upon the name of the Lord continually. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Joel chapter 2, last verse, 32. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion, the place of praise, and in Jerusalem, the place of peace, shall be deliverance. And as the Lord hath said, and the remnant whom he hath, the Lord shall call. So we're those whosoevers today. And we're calling on the Lord. And the Lord is delivering us and restoring us and healing us and raising up a people that declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. And he's doing it all across the nation. He's doing it in other nations. He's raising up a people who are declaring that God is God and Jesus is Lord of lords and King of kings. And we're glorying in the glory of the Lord. We are declaring that he is our Lord. And we will follow after his word to the best of our ability and understanding and the revelation as it comes unto us. We will follow after that which the Lord is revealing unto us today. Now, as we looked at yesterday, the Lord said we were cursed if we partook of ate of blood or fat to the third and the fourth generation. Here the Lord says we're cursed in the areas of sexual sins and incest to the tenth generation. If we have participated, or our family or our ancestors have participated in any of these things that we've studied here today in this relationship. And but the Lord says that in Galatians 3 and 13, just as the Lord tells us in John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave Jesus that all the world might be saved. He also tells us in Galatians 3:13 that Jesus became a curse so we don't have to bear the curse. But we have to apply and appropriate the Scripture to our lives, the Word to our lives. We have to make it a living reality unto us individually. Then as we do that, just as healing is... Jesus suffered at the whipping post, his stripes. By his stripes we have healing. And by his bruising, he was bruised for our iniquities. But we have to apply and appropriate that to our lives. His stripes is healing for us. But just because he was whipped at the whipping post, are we all healed? No, every one of us in here probably, I would say almost everyone, has something that they need healing for, and we need to learn how to apply and appropriate those stripes for our healing. We have to do it. We have to do something about it. And it's the same with the curse. We have to apply the fact that Jesus became that curse, just as we have to accept him for our salvation and apply the blood to the sins to our sins. We have to apply the fact that Jesus became a curse so that we can be set free from these curses that we're bound by because of the sins of our ancestors and our own sins. And the Lord is bringing a revelation of these things to us. And I know a lot of people say, oh, I don't believe that. Well, that's fine. I happen to believe it because I happen to have seen the fruit and the fact of it and the reality of it, not only in my life, but in others as we prayed for. Therefore, you can't talk me out of it. You can't argue against me because I've seen the reality of it. It's not a theory. It's not something I've heard about. It's something I have seen practiced in actuality, not because I desired to know it, but because the Lord, by a sovereign act, brought it to pass in our lives, in circumstances that we were in. So therefore, I stand declaring that what I say I know to be true, to be a fact, and you can't argue with me about it. Now, you may not believe it. That's between you and God. You may not believe it. But circumstances are such that God has brought it to be a reality unto me. Now, we're going to pray this afternoon. Yes.
You see, God hates mixtures, doesn't he? How many believe that as the body of Christ? Don't you think God hates mixtures? Now, this is a very common example. It's in Deuteronomy 22, and I'm not going to labor this. There's lots of things. You start reading this Bible, and you'll see lots of things. Or you get in a predicament, and you've got to give somebody an answer, and they come to be prayed for, and you don't know the answer. You better start looking in here, because everything that we'll ever need as a Christian is in this Word of God. It says, thou shalt not sow divers seeds together. You know what happens when you do that, don't you? You get all kinds of cross stuff that pretty soon it just dwindles down to nothing. Thou shalt not wear a garment of divers sorts it's all through there, but the ninth and tenth and 11th verse. I don't want to labor this because this can get... I just want you to start studying. You know, a good teacher will prick your mind, and then you go home and you start saying, is this true or is not this true? And why shouldn't we wear two kinds of garments? I mean, made with wool and linen. Does anybody know? It's in 22.
Deuteronomy 22, 9, 10, and 11.
I'm on 11 right now. I want to go fast here so we can get through a little bit. This is not loud enough back there, I know, either. If you buy something that is 100% cotton, take a cotton T-shirt. It'll last and last and last and last. You can hardly wear out 100% material. You buy a wool suit, and it will last and last and last and last. You get a linen tablecloth, 100% linen tablecloth. You can't wear it out. I've still got tablecloths that my mother had and her mother had. And we've torn them up and made dish towels, but you can't wear out anything 100%. God hates mixtures, and he's got something in here for all of us. You take a wool suit, and I happen to be wearing 100% polyester today. Now, everything I own is not 100% wool or linen or silk, but a 90% wool suit and a 10% silk will split right down the crease where it's pressed. One eats up the other. That's true. You women know about linen and everything, how long it lasts. Now, what they're doing in the foreign countries, they started this. We didn't have too much mixtures until the heathen nations started to make our clothes. And the homosexuals started to style our clothes. Did we?
Right.
We never had so much trouble. God hates mixture. Now, we had a man come here. He was the most beautiful, handsome fellow when we first moved here. Boy, we didn't know nothing when we came here like we should. And we don't know nothing yet like we should because there's all kinds of problems that come in here. And but this boy was handsome. He had coal black wavy hair, and he was a handsome fellow, a man. He had all kinds of problems. And we would pray, and we'd get him out of drugs and get him out of drinking and get him delivered. And a few weeks would pass by. He had a degree in journalism, smart, intelligent. And he would go downtown, and he'd be drunk and in jail, and they'd call, and Glenn would go and get him out, bring him back. He was trying to help him, trying to help him. And you know what was wrong? He had a curse on him because a charismatic church in this town married him to his half-sister several years before. Now, that's incest all the way.
We didn't know it.
But when he finally told us that, and then we started to calling out incest, and we didn't know anything about incest. I wrote an article. I have some copies. And we're coming out with a new book on incest and the curse of bestiality and all these things we're talking about. But it is against the law in most states to marry a relative. It's against God's law to lie with a relative, isn't it? You see, but we get so far away from God and the laws of God, and we think we know so much, and we know nothing except that we're in trouble. Why do you think we have all these illegitimate children? Why? Incest. Why do you think people can't stay in one church and be put there and placed there by the Lord? And we put one sentence last week or last month in a magazine, in our magazine, because some woman had testified, and I never realized this before, that this bastard, in the next chapter, bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to the tenth generation shall he not enter in. That's an illegitimate child. And I don't know if you've dealt with many illegitimate children or not. They have the curse of the bastard on them, and they are so hard to stay put into the Lord, and they're always, you know, there's always a turmoil in their life. We had another case where a doctor and his wife brought their daughter, and they had married her off to the first cousin because they wanted to keep in the family and have children that would be like super kids. Now, that's against the law where I was born and raised. You could not marry up to your fourth cousin where I was born and raised. You see, we're so far away from the law of the Lord Jesus Christ and God Jehovah. We're so far away from this book because preachers have stood in the pulpit and false prophets and said, don't pay any attention to the Old Testament. Everything is lovely. You've been saved. You're going to go out in the rapture any minute. And that is heresy all the way. And we've got to wake up as Christians. Proverbs says, don't go listening to things that you know are not true. Proverbs, book of Proverbs says it. Don't keep going back to Egypt. I oughtn't to say this, but I'm going to say it. Because Tommy preached such a wonderful sermon this morning. And we need to wake up as Christians. You can't believe everything that's in this pulpit. And you can challenge us all you want to. And we may be wrong a lot of times. And we'll admit we're wrong. This girl, we had prayed for her and prayed for her and prayed for her. And she got so much deliverance and was walking beautifully with the Lord. And one day she went back to Egypt. She said, I think I'll go back to the first church. I just want to see some friends up there. So, you know. And then she came back and she said, oh, it's so good to hear about the rapture. It's going to come any day. I just love to go up there. I don't believe it, but I love to go up there and hear that. Where do you think she is today? Yeah, going back to the Catholic Church. That's right. Going back. This mixture, if you'll study the Bible, you will see that God put likes with likes. Butterflies give birth to butterflies. After its own kind. I am sick and tired of having people argue that it's all right to marry anybody. Now, this came in with the hippie generation.
And from overseas.
Americans marrying, you know, natives.
Yep.
And we're not against the people themselves. We're against the people that do it. Now, if it's done out in the world, that's one thing. But when it's done in the church, and they just keep marrying and divorcing and marrying and divorcing and marrying and divorcing and marrying and divorcing and having illegitimate children and having abortions, and they come here and they want us to pray for them, and we're glad to pray for them, but I mean, you got to forsake your sin and go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. That's what Jesus told them, you adulterous generations. Go and sin no more. And I tell you, fornication and adultery is rampant in the church from the pulpit to the cradle almost. And the reason behind it is incest. That may not be in you. You may not have anything in you that's affecting you, but you may have to minister to somebody that is, and you better know. You better know and ask. Yes. Yes. And where is he? He's down inside of us, isn't he? That's right. That's right. We've got to watch these mixtures about everything. Somebody called me from Montana last week, and they are having so much trouble with their cattle. So they went to the Bible. These two women, neighbors, their cattle were all dying. And they weren't making any money, and they were losing money. And they went and they fasted for 3 days, and they prayed, and they read the Bible. And you know what they found out? That they shouldn't be mixing and breeding all these funny things that look like camels and everything in with the Herefords. You see, we've got to get our mind pricked. Now, you go home and you read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and see what God's law was to the children of Israel, and you see how rebellious they were, and how they grumbled, and how they complained, and then you look at the church today, and you look in your own heart, and search your own heart to see if it be in you. I tell you, we are coming into serious days. There's no time to play church, and there's no time to goof around. There's no time to be rebellious. God is requiring obedient people. Obedient people. I was just telling somebody today, when we have the youth groups that come in here from other churches, really, and this is a disgrace, because I've grown up in old-time Pentecost, the Pentecostal kids are the worst. They won't obey. They won't go to bed. They have to be belligerent. They defy you. And these one church, from a very high up, thought of, well thought of, charismatic church, they had to bring 4 to 6 guards, and they had to walk around this building all night long to keep those kids corralled. Their young people's leaders could not corral them. They had to have actually guards. Can you believe that? Now, you mothers and dads who allow your kids to do those things and you don't correct them, and you just say, now you got to go to bed at 8, and it's 9 o'clock, and they're arguing with you, and you let them argue, and then 10 o'clock, and then 11 o'clock, and then they come here and they argue with us. You see? That is pure, unadulterated witchcraft, because it is rebellion. It is rebellion. And we need to shape up. I wish I'd have known all this when I was raising my two kids. I wish I'd have known all this. And my dad was a preacher, and he was a good preacher. But you see, the seal wasn't open to this end time. Nobody ever thought about defying their parents or cursing right. their parents. Nobody ever thought about refusing to go to church. We went to church when we were told to go to church. I don't care how we felt. We went to church anyway, and they prayed for us. You see, we have come so far and gotten so big and so far away from this book. And I don't want to sound harsh, but I want to dent your brain like she was saying today. Dent. Put a dent in here. So you'll remember, when you see rebellious kids, you'll correct them. Your own children. You won't let them by with nothing. When management taught me how to be a supervisor at Lockheed, they threw that at all the supervisors. Don't let those people get by with one thing. They were union, see. The first day, if they're late, you fire them. The first 90 days, if they're absent, you fire them because you're going to have a problem on your hands if you don't. And that's how strict they were way back in the days when it was hard to get a job. Now, if you don't like McDonald's, you can go to some other place. And if you don't like that, you can go. And if you don't like this church, you can go to that church. And then pretty soon, one woman called me up. She said, when you put in there that you couldn't enter into the congregation, she said, I've been saved 13 years, and I've been to 13 different churches. I stay about a year, and then I get mad. Or else they get mad at me, and they put me out. She said, I have that curse on me. I was an illegitimate child. I was a bastard. I have the curse of the bastard. They can't enter in to the congregation of the righteous. There's people that come to church all the time. They never enter in. They don't hear anything hardly that goes on up here. Their minds are far away,
right,
just wandering around, wandering souls. But when they get in trouble, where do you think they come?
Yeah.
When Job prayed for his friends, then was he delivered. So we pray for them.
Yes.
We pray for them. We have to pray for them. We have to pray for them. But if somebody else has problems, they can't even be bothered to come and help pray. See? We've got to learn to be faithful. There's the called, the chosen, and then there's the faithful. It's the faithful people that's going to be the remnant. Don't think everybody sitting in here is a remnant. Who knows if any of us are? But I want to be. But I tell you, you've got to be faithful. Don't drag into church a half an hour late.
Amen.
Don't stay home because you got a toe ache. Come and get healed. Pay attention to God's word. Start living up to a standard. Get some backbone in you. Get a little spizzorinkum in you.
That's right.
I mean, stand up to the devil. How are you going to stand up to the devil if you have no spizzorinkum in you?
No backbone.
You'll let him tramp all over you. He tramped over me for many years, but I don't allow that anymore. I'm tired of that. Rise up. You've got power and authority. We've got power over the incest this afternoon. We've got power over the curse of the bastard this afternoon. The curse of Moab. We have power over that. You're going to come in. You people, are we all going up to Zion?
Yes.
Everybody wants to go up to Zion. You know what's going to come out of Zion?
Uh-huh.
Deliverers and saviors.
Yes.
Obadiah says that. Yes. How are you going to deliver creation if you don't even believe it yourself? How? I wonder. Oh, my God. I wonder. I cry out, Lord, how long? How long will you let us stay asleep that we can't wake up? Wake up to the hour that we're in. Wake up to what America is involved in. Wake up when there's forces all around our country ready to attack us. What are you going to do when the bombs start falling?
Right.
What are you going to do when the famine comes? Sure. Well, they want to commit suicide.
Right.
Half of the Christians now want to commit suicide.
Right.
They call up, want to commit suicide. They want to get out of this. They want to be raptured out any minute. They don't want to face any kind of tribulation. Listen, when tribulation comes, that's when you will learn to pray. And you'll pray hard.
Right.
And you won't be looking for somebody's arm of flesh to lean on. You'll lean on the Lord Jesus Christ, or you won't make it. You'll never make it through if you don't lean on Jesus. We have to lean on Jesus. He is the author and our finisher of our faith. He is the one that we look unto.
Yes.
Don't look to Glenn and Irma to deliver you. Look to Jesus to deliver you.
Right.
Cry out to Jesus to deliver you. And then if he uses us, fine. If he uses Nathan, fine. Now, if you sat where we sat, you might have the same opinions we are having here. We get some blood-curdling things. How would you like to have a girl walk in? Beautiful girl. Beautiful girl. Jerk a wig off and then demand raw meat and she drank her own menstrual blood. How'd you like that for a case? I mean, wake up, people.
Right.
If you don't want it yourself, pray for us, because we have to.
That's
do you think we have to help that girl? The 700 Club. Are you on the 700 Club call? They call. They send people here and they call here for help. But there's a lot of calls that come in like that. Suicidal calls and everything. Yes. We're trying. I tell you, you need to pray for us, because we've got enough to write 15 books that the Lord has shown us. But he told us a long time ago, when I get ready for you to put out these things, I will give you the help and the time to do it. And I tell you, it's just coming to the time. We've got now 3 computers. We've got girls here that have degrees in journalism. We've got girls here that type beautifully, that know how to write. And all we need to do is to have some time.
Yes.
And God's going to provide that. I know He is. I know He is. The Lord has put us in the aerospace industry. We were always in the publications department. I was. From the time I worked for R.G. Letourneau in 1941 on, I was in the publications department. Printing, typing, reading Brother Letourneau's mail and sorting it and all of that. And I thank God for all the experiences we've had. And wherever you have been and wherever your lot in life is, that's where you can help. You can pray for people at the grocery store if you want to. You can pray for people on elevators. Don't be so wimpy.
Right.
Don't be such a wimp. I mean, let's get with it. Patty's laughing.
Right.
Patty's laughing. There were some women here last year. Our real cheerleaders are not here. And I'm not saying anything against you people here, but they usually sit right here. They're from Ohio. And they are true cheerleaders. I mean, they are tuned in. To every preacher that's up here, they're tuned right in. They just flow. They just pour the Holy Ghost into the speakers. I don't care who's up here. They are praying for them. They don't like this one. You never hear them say, I don't like that. I don't like this. I don't like that. I'm not going to go today. I hate that. I don't like that. No, they're right there.
Yeah.
Faithful. And somebody called them the cheerleaders. And there. Everybody should be a cheerleader in a congregation. You don't have to fight what Brother Tommy said this morning. You don't have to fight what Marianne and Chuck say. Try to flow with the Holy Ghost. Try. It's fun if you try. You might succeed. When you sing, sing. Do everything with all of your might. The Lord is after faithful people, because the world is out there that we've got to get them delivered. How can we do it if we all act like chickens with their head off, as my mother would say? I mean, tune in, study your Bible, share your Bible, what the Lord shows you, with other people, with your friends. My friend, you can take this set of tapes home and have your own congregation in a few days by inviting a few friends over and playing the tapes. Playing the tapes. Pretty soon you'll have so many people in your house that you can't, they'll wear out the carpets coming to your door for help. People need help. I mean, they need help. Don't you understand that people need help? Don't you understand that your children are on dope and they need help? And people just fall apart. Their kids are getting drunk. Their kids are getting babies. They're getting abortions. They're taking... They're 12, 13 years old and taking the pill. And the parents don't know what to do. Why don't they know what to do? Why don't they know what to do? Because what's in them is in the children, and it's manifesting out in the children. And all of this has been hid in the closet. Incest is a closet experience, I guess you'd call it. It's hidden in the closet. It's not talked about. When I wrote this article, I didn't really know what the Holy Spirit was having to me write. I didn't even think it was bound to anything, you know. And a fellow told me, he was a homosexual, he came here from cross country. He came here to be delivered. Well, if you've ever worked in the aerospace industry, we have plenty of those kind in there, and you don't have to be too smart spiritually to recognize it. When he walked in, I knew, and the Holy Spirit said, I didn't know who he was, never heard of him before. He took our magazine, he said. I gave it to him in Denver 10 years ago. He came in here, and I saw he needed help. So I went to him, and I said, did you come for help? And he said, yes. And we're not against praying for you in private with these terrible sexual sins that you've gotten into. We're not against that at all. It's all right. But he came in, I said, did you come for private prayer? He said, yes. I said, all right. Right after lunch, you can come up with Glenn and I, and we will pray with you. So Glenn had just gotten out of the hospital. He's had this plague of kidney stones, bladder stones. But anyway, he wasn't very strong. And so we get up there, and I said, we just sort of sat there, you know, because I knew what was coming, and I knew I had to say it. But I didn't want to say it. So I finally said to him, where does homosexuality adultery, and fornication come into your life. Oh, that's all I had to say. I mean, he bucked. He was sitting in my sidearm chair, and that spirit just stiffened him, and he backed clear up and was almost out the door. And we'd pull him up. We had to get Kevin up there finally because Glenn and I couldn't keep him up there, and the spirit was terrible. But we prayed and prayed and prayed, and then the next day, he came again. I want some more. He came again, and he's been coming and coming and coming until he's delivered and freed from that. So, we have a problem? You cut your lip? What'd you do? What'd you do? Come on, honey. A bottle?
No, she bit her lip. I don't ask.
Oh, you bit her lip. She bit her lip.
Jesus,
let healing flow.
Thank you, Jesus, for healing.
Let healing flow.
In Jesus' name. We speak healing into this.
Let healing flow. In Jesus' name.
Whatever.
Stick your tongue out. Let me see your tongue, honey.
It's her tongue.
She bit through her tongue.
She bit through it.
Lord, let this healing come. Let this healing come. Let this healing come. Let this healing come. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, take the soreness away and the pain.
It's going to be all right, honey.
Thank you.
Jesus loves you. You know Jesus loves you. Do you love Jesus? You love Jesus? Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for healing.
Yesterday we needed to pray about diabetes.
Any
demon. Yes, I can see. Yes, he has the demon of incest. Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. The curse of incest. The curse of incest. In Jesus' name. Every sin, we bring to the blood of Jesus to cleanse. Come out of him, you devils of hell. Come out in Jesus' name. Every sin of his ancestors. We break the curse. We break the curse off of this child in Jesus' name. We break the curse off of this boy in Jesus' name. Every sin that he was born with through his family line, we loose him in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Green, don't fall over him. Here.
I got him.
Okay. In Jesus' name, receive the power of God.
Break it in the name of Jesus.
Every malformity, straighten out. Hands, straighten out. Body. Straighten up and obey the Lord Jesus Christ and take his healing power in Jesus' name. Command this body to receive healing power. Command this body to begin to change now, immediately. Let the blood of Jesus cleanse. Let the blood of Jesus cleanse. But in Jesus' name, there goes another one. In Jesus' name. Kirita la mahondala kasito la mahondala kotalia sandala bakondalia sandala bandaya. Let relaxation come to every muscle in this body. Let relaxation come to every muscle in this body. In Jesus' name, put your arms straight down, honey. Now just relax in the name of Jesus. Relax every muscle in this body and in this mind.
Thank you.
The word says they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Some recoveries take a month, some 2 months, some longer. But nevertheless, the word of God says, they shall recover. We command restoration to come into this body and this body to receive the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Now close your mouth. Can you close your mouth? That's right. Now, all this in his face. It's breaking out in his face. So we command that to clear up. Jesus' name. Now close your mouth. You can breathe through your nose, see? You don't have to leave your mouth open. That's better. Does he look better?
Yep.
Now straighten up. Yeah. Straighten up. Sure. Straighten up. Straighten up.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, let's pray about the curse of the blood and the curse of incest. I think you should all pray after me, if you will.
Yes.
Amen. Father,
amen.
We come in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
That name that's above every name.
That name that's above every name.
And we ask you, and we thank you.
We thank you.
for hearing us this afternoon.
For hearing us this afternoon.
Now, how do I want to pray? Jesus, help me. Give me wisdom, Lord. Give me the words here this afternoon, Lord, for this. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Well, just let me pray for you. Let me continue to pray. Father, I come in the name of Jesus, and I come and stand as a priest in behalf of these people this afternoon, and myself included. And I thank you for the authority that you've given to us in your name. And I take that place of authority this afternoon. Father, I bring the sins of our ancestors up. The sins of my ancestors and everyone that's present here. Father, I go back for 30 generations in the areas of our ancestral line. I ask for the blood of Jesus to cleanse and to wash these areas, Lord, where they've eaten fat and blood, Lord, which is contrary to the word of the Lord. And incest, Lord, where there's been incest and sexual sins in the family, Lord. I ask for the blood of Jesus to cleanse and wash these sins of our ancestors that have put a curse because you said that you put a curse upon us if these sins are committed. Now, Father, I ask for the blood of Jesus to cleanse and to wash my life and everyone here, Lord, that are bearing and carrying the sins of their ancestral line in these areas of their life. Now, I apply and appropriate the blood to these areas. I take authority over these areas in Jesus' name, and I apply and appropriate Galatians 3:13, where you became a curse, so we don't have to bear the curses. So this afternoon, I apply that scripture to these areas of our lives, and I break the power of the curse from off of us of eating blood or fat. And I break that power and that curse, and I take Satan's rights away, and I release us from that power in Jesus' name and from his authority. For I break the legal right of Satan. I take authority for 30 generations back in the area of incest, in the family lines of our ancestors on all sides of the family, and I break the power of it over us in Jesus' name. And because Jesus became that curse, and I loose us from it in the name of the Lord. I break that power and take that place of authority and take Satan's rights away. And I release us from it in Jesus' name. Every familiar spirit that's come down the family line in these areas, I bind and break that dominion. Every evil spirit, every demon that has given us that have rights to anyone here this afternoon. Spirit of incest, spirit of lust, spirit of sexual perversion. I break that power, fornication, adultery. I take that place of authority and I break that dominion, masturbation. I break those powers over these people in Jesus' name. Every spirit of perverseness, I bind that power and I break the power of it. And I bind the powers of Satan and the demon spirits. And I command them to come out of us now and set us free in Jesus' name. Loose these people and come out. Loose them and come out in the name of the Lord. Every spirit of incest, every spirit of sexual perversion, come out, come out. Spirit of lust, I break that dominion over these people in Jesus' name. I loose them from it in Jesus' name. The spirits of incest is visited down through the family line. I break that power and dominion in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. That anyone who's been molested, I loose them from that, from the power of it in Jesus' name. I loose them from it. But boy or girl, man or woman that's been molested in any way, by mother, father, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, grandfather, grandmother, whoever it might be, I break that power from off of them. I loose in Jesus' name. Spirit of from being molested, the problem of it, the not only the sin of it, but the rejection that's come into them because of it. I break that dominion in Jesus' name. I loose them from that in the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. I break that powers over them. I loose them from it in Jesus' name. Come out, move. I bind you, I break your power. I bind you to the day of judgment. Father, send the angels here to minister with us this afternoon. We break these dominions and powers over these people in Jesus' name. From it, you foul, unclean spirits, come out. Come out, come out in Jesus' name. You foul, unclean spirits, come out. Come out. Perversion, spirits of lust. Come out, come out. We break your power over these people over in Jesus' name. We loose and loose them from it in the name of the Lord. Come out. Come out, move. We break your dominion. We loose you from it in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in the name of the Lord. Come out in Jesus' name. Move. Come out in Jesus' name. We break that power. We break that dominion over these people. We loose us from your dominion in Jesus' name. Come on, come out, move. Fellas, go ahead and pray with him. Come out, move in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Go ahead if you feel like it. Praise you. If you feel like praying with him, go ahead. Yeah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the blood to cleanse and to wash. We thank you, Father, for the blood to wash these areas of our lives. We thank you, Lord, for cleansing these areas of our lives that of our ancestral sins that's visited upon us, Father. I thank you for the blood to cleanse and to wash. Put the blood of Jesus to cleanse and to wash. We break the powers of these curses off of us. Because Jesus became a curse, so we don't have to bear them. We break these curses from off of us. We loose us from them in Jesus' name. We break those dominions over us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' husbands and wives here who've had relations during the time of the ministerial period, we break that curse from off of them. We break it from off of the wife. We break it from off of the husband. We loose them from that curse in Jesus' name. We break that power off of them. We take Satan's legal rights away. We loose them from it in Jesus' name. We speak healing and restoration to the female organs and to the men's in Jesus' name. We speak healing and restoration to these areas of their physical bodies in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Father, because Jesus bore this at the whipping post. So we apply the stripes of Jesus for healing and restoration. We thank you for it, Father. We praise you for it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come out. Move. Come out. Come out. I bind these powers to the dead judgment. I break your dominion over these people. I loose them from it in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. I break your dominion. I bind your power. I break your dominion in Jesus' name. Come out. Move. 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 Jesus' name. You spirit of being molested as a little boy or a little girl, I break that power from off of them. I break the shame. You spirit of shame, I break that off of them. I loose them from the spirit of shame. I break that dominion in Jesus' name. I loose them from it in Jesus' name. I break that dominion. I break the powers of it. I loose them from it in the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, move, move, move. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord over our lives. Jesus Christ is Lord. I take Satan's legal rights away. I break his power and dominion. I take it away. Jesus is Lord over our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for the blood to cleanse and wash. Anyone who's been involved in any homosexuality or lesbianism, as a boy or as a girl, or bestiality, Father, we thank you for the blood to apply the blood to these areas of their lives. I break the power of the curse because Jesus became a curse. I loose them from the curse of it in Jesus' name. I loose them from it in Jesus' name. Slumber parties, things that happen to slumber parties, I break the power of that in Jesus' name. Guilt. Spirit of guilt, I loose them from it in the name of the Lord. Shame and guilt, I break the powers of shame and guilt in Jesus' name. I loose them from it in Jesus' name. I break those powers in the name of the Lord. Thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I take authority over the spirit of nicotine. I bind the spirit of nicotine this afternoon. I break that curse of nicotine. I loose them from the spirit of nicotine this afternoon. Indian vows. I break the powers of Indian vows and Indian covenants. Indian covenants made with the Indians by smoking the peace pipe. I break the power of the curse of the peace pipe and tobacco in Jesus' name. I loose them from that curse of tobacco in the name of the Lord. I bind that spirit of nicotine and command it to loose them and come out in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I come against the eating of fat and cholesterol in the body that has harmed the hearts and the blood vessels. I rebuke that power, that spirit in Jesus' name. Ask you, Lord, to cleanse and wash us, Lord. Thank you for the blood to cleanse us. I break the curse of that over any of us here in Jesus' name. I break that curse from off of us, from our ancestral line. I break that curse. I command our body to restore itself in Jesus' name. I command the blood vessels to clear themselves. In the name of the Lord, Jesus bore this curse, so we don't have to bear it. And by his stripes, we have healing in these areas of our lives. I speak healing and restoration into the physical body in Jesus' name. Thank you for it. Father, I speak healing to the female organs and to the prostrate areas of the male and females present here that have been involved in sexual relations that have caused this, to allow this sickness or disease to come upon their physical body. I speak the healing and restoration in the name of the Lord Jesus to every male or female here that has any problem in these areas. Speak healing in the name of the Lord, in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.